It doesn't come on. You see, I was getting a bit paranoid that they gave me a microphone that doesn't have a battery in case I said something dodgy so it's not recorded. So let's put that to rest. We're good. The signal is being picked up and we are set in motion. Could you stand up if you've never seen this pretty face before? If you've never seen what... If you've never seen... Okay. All right. So everybody in here has seen me before. Yes? If you haven't, stand up then. Stand up if you haven't seen me before. You haven't heard me speaking before. Okay. That's fine. You can take a seat. That is good. You say, why did I get you to stand up? Well, I just need to know how much to tell you about myself as I'm going through the message, so you know who's kind of speaking to you. And you say, does it matter who's speaking to me tonight? And I certainly think it does matter who's speaking to you tonight. I was meant to speak last night, but I asked if I could have that changed because it was my wife's birthday last night. So I didn't want to come down last night, wanted to come down tonight instead. So I am Leighton Kelly. I have a ministry to drug addicts and people with addictions. Right now in my ministry, I have people that have killed people. I have all that kind of stuff. As wild as it gets, they're the type of people that God has called me to go and preach and reach to. And the reality is, in a room such as this, with the amount of people that's in this room, young people that's in this room, I'm not saying they're going to end up a killer or anything like that. But what I'm saying is, some of you will end up in trouble. And you know, it's good to know that you can come out of trouble. And, you know, I've taught on Samson many times, I've read Samson many times, I've looked at the story and admired it and read it through and all that kind of stuff. And my life is similar to Samson's life. I come from a background, don't come from a godly home or anything like that, but I come from a background where I got saved and I had information, I had the church to help me. But even though I had all that, I made wrong decisions that cost me absolutely years of my life. And if you could see, if you could just for a minute see inside my brain, it would trouble you. And I don't mean that, and I know Dan's giggling, but I don't want you to go and have to see the things that I've seen. And you say, you're stretching it a wee bit. I have eaten out of skips. I've eaten out of skips before. That's true. I have been as low as you can go. And I knew a whole lot when I was down there. This man Samson, that you probably know more about Samson after this week than I know. But the little bit that I know, I'm gonna try share with you. But Samson knew a whole lot and still got in trouble. You've been taught a whole lot this week. Some of you's first time in camp. Some of you's have been here year on year on year. And that's really good. But you know what? Trouble comes. Difficulties come. You say, well, I'll just do my best to do right and then hopefully trouble won't come. Trouble comes. I wasn't here last year. I wasn't at men's retreat this year because I have a little boy, Oisin, at home. He's 4 years of age. And Oisin has cancer. You see, he never done anything wrong. It's just we live in a sin-filled world and a cursed world. And these things happen sometimes to good people. And sometimes in life, you're going to come to the place where you have difficulties and trials come your way. And you know what you're going to have? You're going to have some guts out to get through it on the right side without knocking you onto the floor and you're not getting back up again. You see, we're going to be looking at a man, Samson, and he had big muscles. But he had his heart wasn't that big often. And, I want no talking. I've drove 2.5 hours to come here, to come and speak. So, let's have no talking, no disruptions. And I don't want to be mean and saying that, but I have come a long way. I've left this, I was meant to be preaching to the addicts up in Tala tonight. and I came down here, so if you would give attention, that would be good. Turn in your Bibles to, I was going to say the book of Samson, but there is no book of Samson. Book of Judges would be a good start for us. And I think if you turn to Judges 16, that would be good. You know, yous have heard an awful lot about Samson this week, and I'm just going to do a short recap because I wasn't here. And, you know, the first thing that I want you to remember tonight about Samson is, Samson was God's man for that point in time in history. God picked him. God chose him. You know, he was God's man for that time. He was a man full of potential. He had potential from an early age. You know, people had expectations of him when they looked at him. Just like when your preacher looks at you, sometimes he sees you doing good things, he thinks, you know what, maybe they're going to go real far. And people look at you and they have expectations on your life. Your parents look at you and they want you to go real far, just like Samson's parents done for him. You know, Samson was a man with great potential. He had a wonderful supernatural gift. He had super strength. He was brought up in a godly home, which was a real, real good help to him. But you know what? He still got in trouble, even though he was brought up in a godly home. And you know, it doesn't matter whether you've been brought up in a real good home, in a preacher's home, or you've been brought up in a foster home, or you haven't had a home to grow up in, whatever you're from, it doesn't matter. When people come to God, when they come to the cross of God, it's level. It doesn't matter whether you're a preacher's kid, it doesn't matter whether you're a missionary's kid, or it doesn't matter whether your mom and dad left you and abandoned you when you were a baby. You know, it doesn't matter. Everybody that comes to God comes on a level playing field. And you know what? There's no leg ups with God. Everybody has the potential just like Samson had. And you know, I want you to understand, you know, you're coming near to the end of camp tonight. You know, tomorrow will be a wrapping up session and there'll be no wrapping, but there'll be cleaning up, setting, and you'll be getting cleared up and ready to go, and preacher will be preaching in the morning, and yous will be all gone home. And some of yous will go home, and yous will have missed the opportunity that has been placed in your life this week because of maybe a number of different reasons. Maybe pride was a reason. Maybe you were hanging around with some people in camp that just weren't as interested as really what you were deep down in your heart. It's just you couldn't let them know because you didn't want to maybe look a little bit foolish. Or maybe you're a little bit shy and you just didn't want to come forward because, you know what, you get saved and Pastor Ledbetter, he'll have you standing up there and putting your hand up and all that and embarrassing you, you know. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says, and he said, I have heard thee in the... I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, you're coming close to the end. You're coming close to the end of going home, saying goodbye for another year. But you need to understand, tonight's a night of great potential for everybody in here. For saved, for lost, for people that know God, for people that don't know God. Tonight is a night of potential. And you know, I just want you to think for a few minutes. Going to give you three main points and a couple of other points and then we're going to be done. I like camp because this is the longest I get to preach without people throwing stuff at me. So I'm not going to keep you that long. I'm only kidding. But point number one I wanted to talk about tonight is how did Samson get his life in a mess, just as a review. Well, to be honest, he got in trouble because of his eyes. Because he would look at stuff, he would look at women, he would look at things that he wanted. You know what he would do? He would just go take them. He didn't care about the consequences. You know what? He was that dumb, he didn't even think the stuff through sometimes. He just wanted it. It didn't matter what he had heard before. It didn't matter what he had done before in his own life. He still went ahead and made the same old silly mistakes that he made before. And we need to learn from that. You know, Samson saw a woman that he liked. And, you know, if he saw a woman he liked, he just took them. You know, he made bad choices that ended up costing him a whole lot in his life. You know, he was, a lot of times he was just like us, real dumb, making the same old mistakes that he's always made. You know, the problem with the people that I deal with on a regular basis in my ministry is they always end up in trouble because of the same reasons. There's never anything new. You know, and they see everybody else that's gone that way before, and they somehow think, you know what, it'll be different for me. Somehow I won't be like that. And it's never like that. We need to learn from other people's mistakes so we don't make them. You know, Samson saw a woman and he wanted to get married, and he married the wrong woman, and she, you would have looked at this during the week, she put pressure on him, to get the answer to the riddle. And, you know, Samson lost the riddle. He had to go out and he had to kill all the men. He had to give over the garments and stuff like that to the people. You know, Samson's wife ended up being given to another man. You know, in times in Samson's story, you know, he had it real, real hard. But you know what? A lot of Samson's problems were of his own making. A lot of the problems that you have in your life and I have in my life tonight are of our own making. And we can blame the devil, and we can blame our parents, and we can blame our teachers, and we can blame everybody else and our granny. But to be honest, the biggest problem you have looks every morning at you in the mirror. And if you would just learn to deal with that fella or that girl that you see in the mirror every morning, you know what? You would have a much easier life. You would have a much more fulfilled life if you would just deal with the old man that you see in the mirror every morning. You know what? Samson had a heart. He went out and he killed thousands of Philistines. He just ended up in all sorts of trouble. All that happened in chapter 15. Between chapter 15 and 16, about 20 years goes by. Samson's the judge over Israel, and he seems to be doing okay. But the old issue raises its head again. The old issue raises its head again. Samson gets his life in a mess because he goes chasing after wrong things again in his life. And in Judges 16, look at verse 1 with me. He says, "And when Samson to Gaza, and he saw there a harlot, and he went in unto her." You know what? Again, we see Samson falling into sin with a woman. Look at verse 5, and it says, "And the lords of the Philistines came unto her, and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver." You know what? Here we see the loyal of the viper just deciding to entice Samson. Yeah. You know what? It's not like she didn't know what was going to go on. You know what? She should have been somebody that was looking out for Samson. She should have been somebody that had Samson's back. But you know what? She was only interested in number one. How often we're like Delilah. And in Delilah's life, you know what? A bit of money, a bit of glamour or bling, and she was willing to turn Samson over to be afflicted. And you know what? She was willing to do whatever she had to do to get what she wanted. You know what? Three times that she tries to persuade him to give her the secret, and three times she came and she basically deceives him. And twice he wakes up and, you know what, he breaks himself free, and just like it's not there, and he just goes about it, and he just rips the head off all the Philistines that are in the room and just wipes them all out. And the loyalist standing there twiddling her thumbs as if she didn't know anything about it. And all apologetic. And you know what he does? He takes her back.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? I have a wife. Her name is Claire. She's from Scotland. I like Scottish people. I just wanted to get that in, promote to Scotland. So, you know, I have a wee wife. And you know what? If I come home to my wee wife and my wee wife put the dinner on the table, and I got real sick and went into hospital, and the doctor says, "You know what, Leighton? Somebody's out there putting antifreeze in your food." And you say, "Why would she put antifreeze in your food?" Well, antifreeze will kill you, by the way. Alright? So she puts antifreeze in my food, and the doctor says, "You know what, you're out to been poisoned. Whatever you had for dinner tonight, it was full of antifreeze, and it could kill you." And I go home, and me and Claire have it out, you know, we have a roll about around the floor on the carpet and stuff like that. I prevail over her, and I get the victory that night, and I tell her never again, and she says, "Listen, I will never do that again." And then I come in from work the next day, And there she has a lovely dinner set in front of me again. And I eat it. Then I start feeling funny. You know what? I start feeling funny. I start getting sick. And I end up in the hospital again. And the same doctor looks at me and he says, you know what? Whoever gave you that dinner again, you know what? There's antifreeze in it. It's going to kill you. And they send me home and I go in and me and Claire roll about again. This time she does a little bit better, but I prevail over her again. And you know what, folks? If I was to go and sit down to one of Claire's dinners after that the next night, I would be an absolute donkey of a man. You know what, folks? You would think me an idiot if I sat down for another meal off Claire. If I didn't sling her out on the street, if I didn't black bag her, you know, being black bag means you come home, your clothes are in the black bag and you're fired out the door, right? That's being black bagged, okay? And if I didn't black bag Claire for doing the antifreeze trick on me, you would all say you're an absolute idiot. But you know what? Samson here is basically tied up twice when he wakes up, and there's a load of strange warrior men in there with weapons gonna murder him. And yet he still keeps the viper living in his house. You would think you would get rid of that. You would think you would do something about it. But not Samson, you know why? Because Samson's just like me, and Samson's just like you. Samson thought he would always be able to get out of trouble. Samson thought them dafty Philistines that come in every night, he would have no problem always ripping their heads off when he woke up. He thought he could live around Delilah all his days and it wouldn't affect him and it wouldn't kill him. And you see, a lot of us have Delilahs in our life, areas of sin that are pulling us down, that are keeping us down, that are ruining our lives, that are sending us down the wrong road. We have friends that are like the Delilahs in our life that we like spending time with them, but we know they're trouble. We know they're negative. We know that if our parents knew what they were really like, we wouldn't be allowed to spend time with them. We all have the Delilahs in our life. You know what? Just like Samson, I used to have the Delilahs in my life. And I was a Christian at the time. And I ended up leaving church because of it. I ended up leaving school when I was 13 years of age and never going back. I ended up in stolen cars because of it. I ended up on drugs for years and years and years because of it. I ended up with many scars on my body because of it. And many, many more in my mind that I will never, ever be able to get rid of. All because I let the Delilah stay in my life. All because I let areas of sin stay in my life when I knew and I knew and I knew they were going to take me down. They were going to kill me. But you know what? Just like me, just like you, just like Samson, I thought to myself, you know what? I will always be able to get up and break free of this sin and just continue on with life. But you know what, friends? One day I woke up and I couldn't break free of my sin. One day Samson woke up and he was no longer able to carry on as normal. And although you might be waking up right now and you might be able to break the ropes right now, maybe there'll come a day in your life too when you'll wake up and suddenly realise, you know what? I can't break free of this. I'm stuck right now. And maybe it will end up costing you your life. It doesn't have to be that way. We're looking at last minute faith tonight. We're looking at last minute faith. Why did Samson get his life in a mess? Because he followed with his eyes and he done the things that he wanted to do, even though he was advised against it by godly leadership and his parents. He still went ahead and done the wrong things in his life, even though he knew they were destroying him. Samson let himself be deceived again and again and again by sin. Listen, don't be deceived by sin. Get honest with yourself. Get honest with your sin. Get real with your leadership in your life. You know, me and Samson have a whole lot in common. Big muscles and good looks. That's where you're meant to say amen if you are tuned in. That's it. I'm not coming back to this place. And you know why me and Samson, this is going on to point number two. The reason why me and Samson ended up with our lives in a mess and the reason why we're so similar is, point number two is, me and Samson failed to make a stand in our life. Me and Samson failed to make a stand in our life. when it came to the place of making a stand, when I was a young Christian, when I was starting to hang around with them wrong friends, when I was starting to do them wrong things, you know what, I went the wrong way. You know what, Samson, you know what, if he had just made a stand in his life, we would be reading about a different character in the Bible. We wouldn't just have his name just in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, we wouldn't just have the name of Samson. Maybe we would have like what we have at Moses, a big spiel about him. You know what, maybe there could have been a whole lot more about Samson's life. Maybe there could have been a book of Samson. You know what? But you know what? There's not. There's not. You know why? Because he wouldn't make a stand in his life against stuff that was wrong. You know what? He didn't, you know what? He didn't throw Delilah out when a forced happened. You know what? He didn't do what we should do and make a stand and say, I'm not going to have that around here. I'm not going to live here with them circumstances going on. I'm not going to stay around here and listen to what you're saying. I'm not going to listen to your backbiting. I'm not going to listen to your gossip. You know what? I'm not going to listen to that music. I'm not going to act that way. I'm not going to do that. He never made a stand. We need to make a stand.
Amen.
We need to make a stand. Or you know what? You're as guilty as doing the thing that your friend is doing if you don't make a stand against it. For him that knoweth to do right and not to do it, the Bible says it is sin. You say, well, I'm not doing it. I don't care that you're not doing it. If you know it's wrong and you're still around that and you're still involved.
Right.
You know what Steve Corrington says? You hang around the hairdressers, you're going to get hair on you. You know what? You spend time around sin, you spend time around people doing wrong, you're going to end up doing wrong with them. Don't spend time with an angry man. Why? Because you'll end up angry. Don't spend time with gossip. Why? Because you'll end up gossiping. Don't spend time with people that drink. Why? Because you'll end up drinking. Don't spend time with people that are missing school. Why? Because you'll end up missing school with them. You know what? Leaving school at the age of 14 was one of the biggest mistakes I ever made. But you know what I thought? I thought, sack that. I'll be able to get a job or I'll be able to do something. I never thought it through. Let me tell you, never leave school until your mommy or daddy says it's okay.
Amen.
And go as far as you can in it. Because, you know what, when you're an old fella of 30 like me, looking back, you know what, if I had known what I know now, if I had known that when I was 14, I would have saved myself so much trouble and pain and in my room crying myself to sleep, broken and just empty and just life destroyed and messed up. If somebody had stood up and told me what you get told on a regular basis. You know what? We need to make a stand in our life. We need to make a stand against bad friends. We need to make a stand against, you know, wrong things in our life. You know what? Samson knows, and Samson knew that he was being tricked. But just like us, we let ourselves be deceived often. You know what? You know, we let ourselves be deceived. We know it's wrong, but we say, ah, but, and we always have an ah, but, it'll be okay. It's not as bad as you say. It's not that bad. And we don't make a stand, and it ends up ruining us. You know, Samson woke up one morning, and he realized that he's wasted years of his life. We're going to look at the end of the story. But there came a day when Samson woke up, and he realized the wasted years. There was a day when I woke up and realized the wasted years. You don't have to have a day where you wake up and realize you've had wasted years. You know what? Chasing a life of sin because it looks good is absolute foolishness. Fish get hooked because they chase something that looks good. Now, me and Dan can't catch a fish between us to save our lives, but you know what? If we had decent shiny hooks, maybe we would have caught some fish. But fish get killed because they see shiny hooks, they see something that looks good, and they go take it. See mouse traps? Mouse traps aren't done up real nice. They don't look good. They don't have flashing lights. They don't have, you know, it's not like that. What do they have on it? A little piece of cheese, a little bit of Mars bar, a little bit of peanut butter. Something that smells and tastes good. Something that smells and tastes good. And that little mouse crawls over with his little whiskers, and takes a bit, and bang! And it goes down. And he doesn't realise until it's too late. I just wanted to wake you up. I'm glad we're all awake.
You were sin.
You see, folks, sin is just like that. Sin is just like that. It's too late when you come to realize what's going on. It's too late. And the message I'm preaching on tonight is Samson's last minute fate. But you see, that little dead mouse lying in the mouse trap and his little family of mice around it having regrets because, you know what, he never got another chance. You know what? That's true. Sometimes people don't get another chance. We've had an absolute terrible story going on in the news. I don't know whether many of you will be aware of it. But over 80 people got killed in Norway. Young people.
That's right.
Like the people here at this camp. Young people on an island got killed by some crazy nutcase over in Norway. You know what? Them young people never thought when they went on that holiday that that would be it. They never thought that would be it. They all had plans for when they went home. They all had plans of where they were going on holidays. They all had plans for going back to school. They all had plans, but you know what, folks? Just the way things are in real life stuff, sometimes you don't get another chance. This might be it. Yous have all had a real good time in camp. And if I was to ask how many people are planning on coming back next year, most of the hands would go up in the air. But you can't guarantee you're going to be back.
Right.
You can't guarantee you're going to be back. You know what? Every week, I'm down in St. John's Ward. It's a little cancer ward down in Crumlin. And I see all the little sick kids. And you know what, folks? They're just normal kids. You don't know you'll be back next year. You need to get so serious about God and about eternity tonight. You need to honestly reflect on your situation and your life and say, do I have it 100% certain that I know God? And if you don't, you need to make sure. Don't be daft like Samson and just thinking it'll be okay, it'll be okay. It won't be okay. It won't be okay. Sometimes it's just not okay. God is a God of love, but if you reject God's love, if you reject God's Son, you reject God's love.
Right.
And you say, well, I thought God loved everybody. He does. And that's why it's a night of opportunity for you. But you know what? You have the opportunity to reject His love tonight and reject His Son tonight. And then you will go before Him and He will say, I can't give you the love that I offered. I have to give you justice. And He will stand before Him as a just God who wanted to love you, but you rejected Him. Don't reject Christ tonight. If He starts tugging on your heartstrings, make a stand for Christ tonight if he starts tugging on your heartstrings. Hebrews 2 verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Now you mark that down. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know, remember, God is love, but you have to accept His Son to receive the full benefits of that love. You know, every one of you has an opportunity tonight, because you know what? The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
For whosoever, that's everybody. That's everybody. No matter what your background, no matter where you're from, no matter what color you are, no matter how tall you are, how short you are, how skinny you are, how fat you are, whoever you are, it's whosoever. It's open to everybody. It's open to you. It was open to me, and you know what I done? I grabbed it with both hands.
Amen.
It was the best thing I ever done. Did it always end up working out for me? Not really. I've had some real tough times in life. But you know what? I know I'm saved.
Amen.
I know I'm saved. I know that my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I know when I go to stand before God that God's going to welcome me in. You say, well, how do you know that? I know that from the Bible. Folks, don't put off what you can do today until tomorrow. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 30 verse 15, it says, see, I've set before thee this day a life and good and death and evil. Make sure tonight that you choose the right way, because you know what? Death and evil are just the default setting of life. That's where you go, because by default, we need to make sure that we're in good standing with God. Look back in Judges 16. Look back in Judges 16 for a minute. Look at verse 19. You know what? What were the effects of Samson not making a stand in his life for a minute? Well, look at verse 16 and 19. It says, "And she made him sleep upon her knees." That was real good of her, wasn't it? She's a real, I tell you, she is one of them you want to bring home to your mother. You know why? Because your mother would probably suss her out and throw her straight out of the house. But she made him sleep upon her knees. You know what? Sin feels good. You know what? When I was on drugs and I was messed up, my sin felt good. Let's read the rest of the verse. "She called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him." You know what? Sin destroys, folks. She began to afflict him. She shaved off his 7 locks. You know what? Sin has consequences. It might feel good, but it has consequences. His 7 locks got shaved off, and it began to afflict him. It starts to destroy him, and his strength went from him. Sin weakens us. If you have sin in your life this week that you're trying to keep back and you're trying to keep covered, you know what? God knows it. God knows your sin, and your sin will cause you to be weak, and it'll cause you to stumble. You know, let's apply this to our lives for a minute. Samson gets deceived. He doesn't make a stand. He gets a haircut. He loses his strength. And we need to ask ourselves, what's deceiving us? You know, what's going to cause you to get a haircut? What's going to cause you to get a haircut? What's going to cause you to lose your strength? What's going to cause you to lose your power with God? What's going to cause you to lose your influence around the people at a church? What's going to cause you to lose your reputation? What's going to cause you to get a haircut? Samson loses his strength. And okay, you know, I ask you, what's deceiving you? What area of your life is deceiving you? It's going to cause you to get a haircut. And you know, for some of you, it's behavior. Some of you, it's a person. Some of you, it's a place that you go. Maybe entertainment that you use, video games or music. You know, something that you do, an attitude that you have. You know what? Ask yourself tonight, what's your Delilah? What's the Delilah in your life that's going to cause you all the trouble that you're in? Look at verse 20 for a minute. It says, "And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep, and he said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself. And he knew not that the Lord was departed from him." He didn't realize that he woke up and God wasn't with him. He hadn't got his supernatural strength. And he awoke, just like I said earlier, and he was trapped. He wasn't able to just break free as before. The enemy had tied him up and he couldn't get himself free. I wonder, is that you tonight? Are you still tied to your sin tonight? Are you still tied to your sin tonight? Because you know what? Going to church won't break you free of it. Getting baptized won't break you free of it. Singing real loud in youth camp won't get you free of it. Praying some little prayer won't get you free of it. It needs to come right down from the bottom of the heart. You need to get serious with God tonight. You need to make sure that you know God before you leave camp this week. Samson was tied to his sin. Look at verse 21. "But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." Do you know what that is? Do you know what that is? He ended up turning the wheel like a donkey. He's walking around all day long. This was a man who wore fancy clothes. This was a man who had fast women. Too fast for him. This was a man who lived it up and thought nothing could touch him. But you know what his sin done to him? His sin blinded him. Because sin blinds and then it grinds. You remember that? And you know what? I don't know how long he spent there, but he spent a lot of time going around in circles. Good picture of his life. Going around in circles. Grinding. Doing the work of a donkey. Doing the work of an animal. feeling like an animal because of the sin in his life. He lost his dignity. You know what? He was the big shot. That's why Delilah was with him in the first place. It wasn't his personality. He probably didn't have a good personality. He spent too much time looking in the mirror for all that. And you know what? You know what? He had the big reputation, but you know what? When he was standing there grinding instead of the donkey, you know what? Even the donkey mocked him. Even the donkey looked at him and says, you know what? You're dafter than me. You know what? Sin will bring you to a place where you will feel mocked. You will feel like an animal being ground into the dust because of your sin. I remember feeling like that. You don't have to go as low as me and Samson went. You don't have to go as low as what we went. You don't have to go as low as Samson. Samson was a man of big reputation. He thought he was a tough guy. He thought, you know, he had a bad attitude. He was a rebel. He was angry. He was bitter. You know what? He didn't live by anybody's rules, not even God's. Is that you tonight? When the Bible talks about sin and hell, do you think it doesn't apply to you? When the Bible lays down dead set laws and guidelines and says, do not, thou shalt not, you know what? Does that apply to you tonight? Are you like Samson thinking it's always going to be okay? Everything will be okay. Nothing will ever affect me. You know what? Samson thought he would do whatever he pleased, go wherever he wanted, and there'd be never any consequences for it. But you know what? Sin caused him to have his eyes put out. And then he ended up going from being a judge of Israel to being a donkey. You know what? He fell so far. You know what? You think of Mr. Fancy Dan. He would have had shiny shoes, a fancy buckle on his belt. You know what? He walked around strutting his stuff. You know what? He'd be dropping shapes everywhere he went. He had a big strut going on, the long flowing hair. And you know what? Everybody looking up to him. But you know what? When sin had its way with Samson, nobody looked up to him anymore.
Yeah. Amen.
Nobody looked up to him anymore. You know all his friends from the past that he'd be partying with? None of them come to rescue him when he's in the Philistines' hands. None of them come to visit him when he's grinding in the wheel. None of them come to see him. You know why? Because they weren't real friends. Any real friend would have stepped in and says, get away from that Delilah one. You know, give her the boot, you know. Some of you need to turn around to your friends and be honest with them this week. Some of you know your friends tonight are rebelling against God, not interested. You need to be honest with them and say, get your act together. Point three, last point, and we're going to be done. How did Samson get his life sorted out? How does Samson stop the rot in his life? How does he end up in Hebrews 11? Yeah. You know what? You wouldn't think he would have ended up in Hebrews 11 if he just stopped reading. He got his eyes plucked out and he was grinding in the wheelhouse. You would think that would be him. Shame, ashamed character in the Bible. But you know what? It doesn't matter how far a man goes into the gutter, there's always a way out. There's always a way out. While you're still breathing, there's always an opportunity to turn back to God. And Samson done all he could do. He had no strength left. He had no friends left. He had no reputation left. He couldn't see. Look at verse 24 to 26 of chapter 16. We're nearly done. And when the people saw him, they praised their God and they said, oh, God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson, that he may make sport for us. They were just wanting to abuse him again. Yeah. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and they made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars, whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. You know what, folks? Samson had lost his eyes, but it was only when he lost his eyes that he truly saw God.
Praise God.
What is it going to take for you to lose before you will actually look for God? The Bible says that those that seek God find him.
Amen.
Samson, all his days, never looked for God with the eyes that he had. But you know what? When sin had its way with him, when his eyes were taken out, when the consequences of sin had their way in Samson's life, you know what Samson done? Samson got his spiritual eyes opened.
Yes, sir.
And he saw the reality of God that day, being held up with his head shaven, standing against two pillars. And I know you've done the great crafts downstairs, and that's the picture that we're thinking about tonight. You know, but what's it gonna take for you to get to the place like Samson? Do you know what Samson done? He got smart. He didn't lose his head. He didn't give up. He didn't stop fighting. He asked to be put between the two pillars. And you know what? Samson had to get himself to the place where God could bless him. Maybe that place for you is away from your friends for a few minutes after the meeting to speak to the preacher. Maybe you need to separate yourself and go see your counselor straight after the meeting and talk to him about whatever the Lord is burdening you with tonight. Samson had to get his hands put on the pillars. You know what? Where are you going to have to get after this meeting? It wasn't too late for Samson, and it's not too late for you tonight. All of us in the room need strength to live for God, strength to overcome problems, and it only comes from God. You know what? Samson prayed and he begged God. He prayed and he begged God to give him victory over his enemy in his life. You know what? God answers prayers like that. And Samson prayed and he pushed with all his might. Interesting that he prayed and he pushed. God expects you to do what you can do.
Amen.
Don't be just sitting expecting God to do everything for you. It doesn't work like that. Samson prayed and he pushed. And he made a stand in his life. And you know what? Samson's life has turned around from that day forward. And that's the thing that gets him into Hebrews. Amen. The fact that he turned his eyes upon God again and prayed and asked God, God, forgive me, help me, help me to defeat this enemy in my life. I've wasted so many years. And he prayed and he pushed with all his might. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. Not Samson.
Right.
Not Samson. It was God that made a victory that day. You know what? We need to get rid of the Delilahs in our life. We need to make a stand. Because sin's going to cost you in three ways. It's going to cost you physically, like it did Samson. They took his eyes. You know what? They had him working. They had him grinding. Sin will cost you physically. It will cost you spiritually. It will destroy your relationship with God. It will stop you from going to heaven. Psalms 22 verse 1 says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Thou art so far from helping me and from my words, the words of my roaring. You know what? That's David. And David had sin in his life. And sin, it just seemed like it blocked his relationship with God. Maybe tonight, if you're saved, maybe there's a block between you and God. Maybe you need to get like Samson and start praying out and asking God to help you. Sin affects us physically, spiritually, and eternally. Sin costs us eternally. The Bible says, and the wicked shall be torn into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. Stay with me. Give me two more minutes of your attention, right? You know what? You say, well, you know what? I don't believe in hell. You know what? I heard hell is here on earth. It's whatever you make of it. Well, don't take what I say. But you should take what Jesus says. Jesus talks more about hell than he does about heaven. You know what? Jesus was very clear when he was teaching about hell. And listen to it. I'm not going to give you all the verses. I'm just going to give you a couple of the snippets that he says, just to give you an idea of what Jesus taught hell was going to be like, and that Jesus knew the reality of hell. He says in Matthew 5 that you're being in danger of hell for. Matthew 5:29 says, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For if it would be profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not the whole body should be cast into hell. Whatever is getting in your way of getting saved tonight, whether it be the fear of man, whether it be pride, get rid of it. You would be better off losing your pride and your reputation and going to heaven than keeping your pride and keeping your reputation and going to hell, Jesus said. Whatever it is, get rid of it. Jesus says, and fear them not which kill the body, but they are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. He says, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Matthew 23:33. He says, where fire is never into the fire, having two hands go down into hell, into the fire, which is never quenched. He says, in hell, lift up their eyes, being in torments. He says, I am he that liveth, and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell, and of death. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Hell is a place of fire, the Bible says. The Bible uses phrases like everlasting fire, the lake of fire, hell fire, eternal fire, fire and brimstone. It talks about weeping. It talks about wailing. It talks about the gnashing of teeth in hell. It talks about darkness. It's getting dark outside, but it's nothing like the darkness of hell, the Bible says. It's that dark, you can feel it. It talks about flames. It talks about burning. It talks about torments. It talks about everlasting punishment. Jesus said in Matthew 25:41, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Folks, don't go to hell.
Amen.
You don't have to. God has made a way. Jesus had made a way. He knew it was a real place, and he came down to save sinners like you and like me. You don't have to wait till the last minute before you start living by faith or get saved. You could get saved tonight. You know, just want to close with one verse. You know, don't be a Samson. You know, don't think you're untouchable. Don't think you'll always be able to get away with what you're doing and sin will never affect you. Don't think you can spend time in the world around the loyalists and people like them and sin not to affect your life. You know what? The only way back to God is by doing a Samson. Get humble and do whatever you can to make it right. Whatever you can to make it right, no matter what it costs you. You know what? God's the one that will provide salvation. He is the one that provides the right help. But you need to make a decision for God tonight. Whether you're saved or whether you're lost, you're brought to the crossroads and you're left with an opportunity to choose God or not to choose God. Let me close with this verse. And everybody pay attention to this verse. It's vitally important. One verse out of the book of Joel. Joel 3, verse 14. Everybody listening, nobody turning or rustling. The Bible says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." I wonder what decision each one of us has to make tonight. Nobody else can make it for you. Your friend in the seat next to you, they won't be with you when you stand before God. Mommy and daddy won't be with you when you stand before God. Pastor Ledbetter, he won't be there either. When you stand before God, you will stand alone with everything open to God. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Head bowed and eyes closed, please.